We'll be singing. We'll have a time of testimony. I know 4 or 5 people are wanting to testify. I'll give a brief word, and it will be good, I think, to be found in prayer at midnight, and then we'll close with a New Year hymn. So let's sing together from Mission Praise. You'll need the Mission Praise hymn book and Redemption, so you just check you've got a red one and a white one, but we're starting with Mission Praise, the white one or the black one. Number 99, Come On and Celebrate, 99.
Come on and celebrate His gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We'll give to you our offering.
Before we sing together again, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the cusp of this new year and at the very end of the year which has gone before, we thank you that we're found together in your house. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what has happened in the past year. And Lord, for many of us, what has happened in the last year has not been easy. It has not been pleasant. It has not been enjoyable. But Lord, we know that you use all things for the good of those who love you. And so, Lord, in faith, we can thank you for 2021. And Lord, we can face the future. Though we do not know what this next year will bring, any more than anyone else in the world today, yet, Lord, we thank you that we know that you are a faithful God and a kind God. And Lord, our times are in your hands. And so, Lord, we need not be afraid. We need not tremble. We need not quake. Because, Lord, we will enter this new year with you. And so, Lord, in the whole of this evening, we'll be committing it to you. Lord, it is already yours. And yet, Lord, we are going to commit it to you. And Lord, we do pray tonight that as we pray and as we praise and as we worship, you might inhabit the praises of your people. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing together 269. And that is, I do not know what lies ahead. 269.
I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to me, my guide, he'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. All things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, dear to him.
It's become something of a custom that at our watch night service, I read some words written by a hero of mine. He died 400 years ago. It is time for us to be looking out of this world, which grows old and is ready to vanish away. God is by the brightness of his own discoveries burning up the works thereof and establishing that new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. The creation hath sent up strong groans and hath long lain under bondage. The redemption thereof now draweth nigh. We are the children of the last times, and upon us are the ends of the world come. Prophecies and promises which have been hid from ages and generations are now enriching us by their revealing and fulfilling in us. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be set up above the mountains and exalted above the hills. Now begins to be brought to pass the saying that is written, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The church have long lain among the pots. God is giving her the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers are yellow gold. She have been conformed to Christ in his death, and have lain with him in the grave. She that hath thus descended must also ascend. She that hath suffered must reign. Since the mystery of iniquity began first to work, it has wrought most effectually and prevailed. Men and their traditions have been the unquestioned authority. The light and teaching of the Spirit in the Scriptures has been forgotten and stood like a sparrow upon the housetop, desolate and forsaken. We have said of the Spirit, as once that murmuring people said of Moses, up, make us gods and may go before us. For as for this Moses, we know not what is become of him. And in the midst of darkness, Satan has conveyed himself in all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and made such a deluge upon the face of the world, that till of latter years, as it has been Elias his time, the true church and saints of God were not discernible, though doubtless in the darkest times God reserved a small remnant to himself, and bowed not the knee to the idols of men's inventions, nor fell down before the throne of the beast. When Charles Worsley wrote those words hundreds of years ago, he thought the world as we know it was going to end. He thought Jesus Christ was coming back. And 400 years later, we still wait. But he was right to hope, as we are. And it might be in this 2022 the Lord Jesus returns. He may not. But like Charles Worsley of old, may we hope for it. And may we expect it. And if it isn't the year in which he comes, may we still serve him faithfully and expect him and prepare for him in the year to come. Amen. Let's sing together again. Number 52. And after this, I'll invite a few folk down to come and testify. 52. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove.
and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, there come assurance, this child can face a certain case, because he
I'll invite Herbert down now, and after Herbert, I'll invite Sue.
I didn't just realise it was testimony over this past year, because what I've been looking at is now I'm looking back on life, I can see how God has worked over the years to bring us to how we are now. Because when I was, because I've been brought up here, came to here as a child to Sunday school, and in those days, most of the time, there were usually into teens of people coming, and that's been, and perhaps, in, and then it got a bit later on, it got, lower teens, and that's how it's been. But the hymn that we just, the second hymn we sang, I know who holds the future, and things don't just happen. God's plans is in it all. And it's in, and it's God's plans, as I look back, and how we are now. And the first major thing, looking back, and this has happened 50 years ago now, we were a congregational church then, but at that time, the URC was formed, and we had to vote whether we accepted to go in the URC. The idea of the URC was to join together the congregational church and the Presbyterian church. The idea was bringing unity among the denominations. It appeared to be a good thing. At that time, we had no minister of our own, But we're very blessed that in our congregation was a shoe manufacturer who just lived down the road, and he had a business in Bakeup and manufactured shoes. But he had the discernment to see what was happening. And he encouraged us not to vote to go into the URC. And the URC required 75% in favour to go in. And at that meeting, he persuaded, there's 26 voting, and he persuaded 7 to vote against it, and just fell short of the 75%. Okay. And what we didn't realise, I certainly didn't realise at the time, A, we would have lost our independence, we'd have lost, it wouldn't have been our chapel anymore, we'd have been ruled by the URC. Not only that, we also would have lost the building. They took that over as well. And of course, where URC churches have gone, many of them are closed, and we would probably could well have been closed by now. Then, further down the line, we had a minister, Jeff Jones, at one time, but this is 1990s. And there are really, only about a 10 or so dozen come in. And they're just a Sunday morning service mainly, and a Bible study with 3 or 4, and that was it, the total meetings in a week. But that time, I got involved with a prayer meeting group in Chatburn. It was involved with 2 ladies from the Church of England, 2 ladies from the Methodist, 1 other lady from Clitheroe, and myself. And the concern was the state of the church and the state of the nation. But he didn't realise just at that time, it would seem an insignificant fact that I just joined that prayer group. But because I joined that prayer group, first of all, the Lord had brought Dave and Sue Tattersall to live in Chatburn. And they came into the prayer group, and that's when I got to know Dave and Sue Tattersall. And also, at that time they worshipped at Ealing Pentecostal at Blackburn. And one or two occasions I went along with them there, and that's when I first met Ellen. Then in 2005, Jeff Jones, he became ill in the July and died in the September, leaving again without a minister. And it was later in that year, I felt led to run our own Alpha courses. Because it was so important to have the right leadership, born again leadership. And that's why I asked Dave and Sue Tattersall to help with a course. The response, absolutely amazing, because there was 20 interested in joining the course, which meant we needed really ideally two groups to run it properly. Now, Jeff Jones had a friend, Reverend David Isaacs, who was our last minister. At that time, he had other churches in the Federation, Congregational Federation. And that back end, Jeff Jones had arranged a wedding here, and of course he wasn't able to take it, so David Isaacs stepped in to officiate at that wedding. And he'd also taken occasional services here, so we did know them. Anyway, he invited David and Edith Isaacs to help also running the Alpha course. And that was such a blessing at that time. Because not only were there commitments made, but we as a team grew together. and as years went on, the church gave a call to David Isaacs, and he accepted and became minister here. Dave and Sue Tattersall moved their membership from Blackburn here too. So he was a group for 10 years, and we had run several Alpha courses and Christianity Explored courses, And that really built up the foundation. And then when David Isaacs died, well, the year before, he retired. The year before, he had a sabbatical, and he asked Alan if he would give oversight to our chapel at that time. And following that, the chapel gave a call to Alan, and it's all God's time, and everything's worked together, but it's building that on that foundation that Alan's been able to take it forward. So just thank the Lord for, yeah.
Thank you, Sue. And after Sue, we'll have Hema.
Right, through this year, prayer, love and hope have seen me through many difficult trials. I couldn't have dreamt up what could have happened in this last year if I'd have tried. It's been a bit of a different year in our family. If I could read my own writing, it'd be helpful. All our Christian life, prayer should be and is a prominent feature. At my conversion, I remember searching the nation for the reason behind growing churches. A bit like Alan seems to seek out the failing ones, I used to seek out the growing ones. I had got a zeal to pray. Each one I found had a faithful group of regular prayers. I would go and join them at times. It was quite crazy, really. I sought out regular prayer meetings at my local church, of which there were few. I guess that is why I ended up at Shekinah, which is, of course, a house of prayer. Eventually, I became prayer coordinator at my local church, though unfortunately there seemed little to coordinate, but it was more a tool to keep me occupied, I think. I would read books galore about prayer and try to learn from them and go to teachings and missions. In reality, maybe time would have been better spent more in solitude and on my knees in prayer. Through my recent circumstances, I have indeed become more prayerful. The Lord has put me in a place where I can be away from distractions and take my troubles and cares to Him more easily. I can worship at the top of my voice with no one to hear, only God. Living at Martin Top is such a blessing to me when I let it be. All our Father wants is to be in relationship with us. It's simple, really. The prayer meeting here on a Wednesday has been a lifeline to me at times. Whatever I was going through, I would force myself there to pour out my heart with Christian brothers and sisters and sometimes just join in worship and stand secure in our Lord. This relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is what Christ came for, so I need to embrace it more and more. Spurgeon said, "You will observe that the desire to commune with God is intensified by the failure of all other sources of consolation." I can indeed testify to this. I am glad I have found a church family that loves to pray. The second point I mentioned is the love that surrounds me. Being part of this fellowship of believers has put me with Christians who have walked with me, said what needed to be said, spoken much needed truth into my life. I often pray in this church that we will learn more of the love which took our dear Lord to the cross. True agape love. This is still my prayer, but you know, I think we do pretty well here. If I was to direct you to listen to one of Alan's preachers again, it would be the one about love in Corinthians 12. Without it, we are not in Christ. Without it, the world will not see. Without it, there is no point at all. The final thing which has seen me through is hope and eternity. Eternity is a hard word to grasp. I have learnt so much about God's timing in the last 12 months. I feel like I have been in a different time zone to the rest of the world. To God, time is not an issue. He can move swiftly or slowly. Age is just a number, bringing us one step closer to our eternal home. A year is like 1,000 days to God, and 1,000 days like a year. Trials may be many, but we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. I pray that my life and yours increasingly reflect Jesus as we soldier on together and put with those who God puts in our path. Constantly praying, constantly loving, constantly focusing on the everlasting, and ceasing the times when we take our eyes off Jesus.
Thank you. Hema.
I want to share a small testimony. Do I have 5 minutes?
Two minutes.
Okay. It's about my mother. My mother lives in India, and she is physically handicapped. Her left foot is crushed under a bus accident. Yeah, she is living all alone, all by herself, and she doesn't have any help at the moment because it's the COVID times, and it's very dangerous for her to have a domestic maid. This is a few months ago. As you must have watched in the television when the second wave of the COVID infection surged up in India. Millions of people died. And that is the point where the government asked everybody to get vaccinated. However, the supply was very short for the vaccination and the demand was too high. In that situation, my mother was to be vaccinated because she's 75 years old and she's on the top of the list. So she received a text message requesting her to go and take the vaccine. She went to the vaccine center. They took all her details, and after taking the details, they asked her to wait for 5 minutes, after which she received a text message saying that she is already vaccinated with the second dose. That is a lie. They have given that vaccine to somebody else using my mother's details. And my mother was sitting there for hours and hours and she was not vaccinated. My mother came home, phoned me and said, what should I do now? However, prior to this, I have been praying every day and I needed a word from the Lord about my mother's safety. Then the Lord spoke to me from Psalms 91. I'll just read this portion. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When I saw this scripture, and the Lord did not speak to me once. He spoke to me every single day through various resources, through various people, through various text messages. And he has been confirming this word since many, many weeks prior to, you know, my mother's second dose of vaccination. I knew why the Lord was speaking to me about this, because it is for my mother. And my mother, as of now, she is not saved. But she raised me and my sister in the Christian discipline. I know that she loves the Lord. And when the Lord said that I will satisfy him with long years of life and show him my salvation. Salvation there is Yeshua in Hebrew. I know that the Lord is going to show my mother his son Jesus Christ as the sent one. So in closing, I thank the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is endures forever. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe.
Just like to share one of my poems, and it's for the new year. The new year is coming tomorrow, and the old year is slipping away. Memories of joy and of sorrow will soon ebb and flow and turn grey. Remember the blessings God gave you as you sit and gather them up. Thank him for being beside you through all of life's bitter cup. The past should be put behind us, the wrongs we should try to put right. Thank God for all his forgiveness as we try to do right in his sight. Do we still need to write that letter we've been meaning all year to do? Oh Lord, teach me to be better, remembering the things I should do. Yes, this year is almost completed, and the new year is coming too. Resolutions thought through and repeated. Lord, help me to see them through. Will you still be there, Lord, beside me, guiding and keeping me true? My prayer for the next year is to seek thee in all that I say and do.
I want to briefly open up God's word, the 27th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 27 and from verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into the Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commandment to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Here is a famous passage. There's a version of it in Deuteronomy as well as here in Numbers. And the Lord is inviting Moses to climb a mountain and behold the promised land. And the first command there is to go up, to leave the place where he was and to go higher. Upon getting higher up, he was to see the land. He himself was not to enter the promised land, but he was able to view it from afar. Now, I hope that no one here and no one in our congregation is called home this year. If any are, let me tell you, they're more privileged than those of us left behind. But I don't want it to happen. But the fact is, whether we die this year or we die in 10, 20, 30 or 40 years' time, we're closer now to the promised land than we've ever been before. And we are, as it were, climbing higher up Abarim and beholding all the wonders of heaven to which we are now a year nearer. Indeed, he says, when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people. What he means there is that you will die. The great Moses, his life is coming to an end. But you'd expect the phrase gathered to your people to mean, well, then you'll go down the mountain and you'll be with all the people you've led out of Egypt. In fact, gathered to your people means I will be calling you home. Not home to an earthly home, but home to a heavenly home. You know, we belong to a small church, don't we? These are our people. But the day is coming when the Lord will call us home and he will gather us to his people up there. Sometimes a clergyman used to talk about the church triumphant. We are the church militant here on earth, active and serving. The church triumphant are those who are no longer here, but they are now in glory. The day is coming, and we are closer to that day now than we've ever been before, when we will be gathered to our people up yonder. However, you'll notice that in this short text I've chosen, it's not all sweet promise. There is, in fact, a reprimand and a rebuke. Moses is not to enter the land because of something he did. Chapters previously, Moses is told to command water to come from a rock. Instead, he strikes it twice with a staff. And you might think, oh, so what? But actually, God was dishonored. And the expression we have here, you rebelled against my command. Sometimes we're rightly precious about obeying God in the big things. I don't think many people in this room murder or steal. But in the little things, perhaps, and I speak to myself here, in the little things, maybe we'd be not quite so righteous. And Moses rebelled in a little way. He struck the rock instead of talking to the rock. Oh, what difference does it make? Well, to obey God is to hallow him, to honour him, to deem him worthy of obedience. And because of that act of rebellion, that lack of hallowing, the Lord, as it were, called him home sooner than it might otherwise be. So what lessons are there for 2022? Well, the good news is we're getting higher up the mountain and we're seeing more of eternity than perhaps we've ever seen before. And I, for one, am looking forward to the time when I will be gathered home to my people. However, in the meantime, may we be a faithful people, not just in the big things, not just when we can be seen by others, but in the little things, in the secret things. May we be faithful and righteous then. And if so, we will hallow his name. I pray that in 2022, in this place, his name will be hallowed. It's gone 5 minutes to midnight. Let's have a time of open prayer. I would ask you to keep prayers short and crisp, and that way other people will have opportunity to pray. And sometime after midnight, we'll sing together, as many as will.
Father, we thank you for your guiding hand over the many years in the past. And Father, as we look forward to the future in the coming year, we trust you to lead us forward. Yeah. And Father, we pray that you continue your work and build your church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you have crowned the year with your goodness. Mm. And Lord, your thoughts drift with our goodness, Father. We thank you for your thoughts. Lord, we thank you that you are the hope of our Lord in 2022. We bless you, we honor you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, for all that is past. Mm. And we trust you for all that is to come. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness down through the years, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness never fails. And we just commit this year to you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and glory in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We do love you, Lord, because you first loved us, and we just pray that we can share that love with others as we move into a new year. Help us to grow and help us to share. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the life you've destined to do and for the work that you've performed in South Africa. For people who have no freedom and no rights.
Amen. Well, may I take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year. And I pray that in the next 12-month period, whatever goes on in the world, God would bless you richly. Stephen, can we sing that final song if you would accompany? Three verses and a chorus.
Should nothing of our ever stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain his builders strive. To you
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. forevermore. Amen. Amen and Happy New Year.